Thanks everyone for sticking around for the last session of the day. Presenting some of my research results from dissertation research conducted in West Africa looking at nutrient and water use efficiency under a water saving and recommended rice production practices in the Sahel. The background for the presentation is the country of Senegal in West Africa. Rice is one of the staple foods in Senegal, although there's a shortfall in production of nearly 75%. The majority of the rice is imported at large costs to the country. And the 2008 food price crisis, which saw riots in the capital of Dakar and Saint-Louis, the town that I was living at the time, renewed governmental emphasis on the production of rice in intensive irrigated systems. And this is a little bit of a departure compared to a lot of the Africa we've been discussing today. There's about 50,000 hectares of intensively irrigated and fertilized production along the Senegal River Valley. And that's the context I'll be discussing today. But at the same time, there was an associated fuel crisis where the cost for irrigating these rice paddies went up with the cost of water. And associated with that, there was a spike in herbicide and fertilizer prices due to the cost of bringing these materials to farmers in the field. So people started looking for alternative production methods. And one which has been suggested as a potential alternative is the system of rice intensification, or SRI. Essentially, SRI is an agronomic management system that uses young seedlings, less seedlings, intermittent irrigation, and organic matter management for fertility. It's now promoted in 14 sub-Saharan nations and a number more globally. And within Senegal itself, it's been a special study subject in farmer field schools backed by the FAO, with a large number of farmers exposed to it. It's also been, throughout the last maybe 8 years, one of the most controversial issues that has come up in rice research. And that was largely due to initially claims of extraordinarily high yields, very, very passionate promotion by some of its most heartfelt advocates, claims of enhanced productivity and very large water savings in rice production. If you read field crops research, there were papers that went back and forth between Shishi et al., Stoop et al., and then later through MacDonald et al. And Uphoff et al. That have ping-ponged across the pages of field crops over the years. But to give you an example of why we felt it nonetheless important to investigate is that in Africa, USAID has put a lot of money into SRI in Mali. The Better You Foundation's recently invested nearly $1 million in its promotion in Madagascar. In Tamil Nadu in India, the World Bank has put nearly $30 million into promotion of SRI and other water-saving practices. And just last week, reading in Reuters, Oxfam has made an announcement which is potentially as problematic as it is ambitious, that they want to see 25% of the rice surface area globally converted to this practice by the year 2025. So we basically said, it's being promoted, let's have sound evaluation of the practice in the location that it is being promoted to see what its potential actually is. So the study goals were to compare SRI, but a locally adapted form, which I will call ASRI, to conventional management practices. And the reason why I call it adapted ASRI is that whereas SRI would typically promote the application of compost or manure, we evaluated the potential of incorporating rice straw combined with fertilizer as a means to augment soil fertility and yield. If manure is available in this part of Senegal, it's just not applied to lower value crops like rice. It goes on the vegetables. So we looked at this alternative. And we wanted to assess resource use efficiencies and nutrient balances in the systems. And this was done at the research station of the Africa Rice Center. It's about 45% clay soil that we worked on. It's in a former back swamp and is pretty typical of the geomorphic location for irrigation schemes within the area. So the experimental design was a split plot with four replicates. We conducted this experiment for five consecutive cropping seasons, with the main crops being crop management systems. The primary ones were these conventional management practices where we used older seedlings, a recommended density of plants, flood irrigation, herbicides to control weeds, and then four additional subplots for fertility management. For the adapted system of rice intensification, we used 11 to 13 day old seedlings, which are younger as recommended by SRI, a less dense crop population as recommended, Intermittent irrigation were often during the vegetative stage. We did not have flooded rice soils. And mechanical weeding with a conno weeder, as you see pictured here, which is pushed between the rows of rice, and the same fertility management. For fertilizer management, we based the rate that we used upon farmer surveys of a large number of farmers that had been conducted in the area historically. We basically wanted to see how the systems performed using the resource mix that farmers are already using, to see if they would improve average yields over the area, and to basically make do with what farmers are actually able to afford. So this included a basal application of DAP and three urea splits. The total end dose was about 120 units or kilos of nitrogen per hectare. That's large for Africa. That is low for this kind of irrigated rice system globally. There's a regional scarcity of fertilizer potassium. It's very rarely applied by farmers and difficult to source, so we actually excluded it from this study. And at the same time, the same survey noted that about 70% of the rice straw that is harvested by farmers is abandoned at threshing stations, so we then looked at incorporation. And this left us with four treatments, the first being without straw or fertilizer, a control plot, the second being without fertilizer but with 5 tons per hectare of rice straw incorporated into the soil 2 to 3 weeks before transplanting, a plot where we only applied fertilizer, and a fourth one where we applied both fertilizer and rice straw in combination. So what were the key results? In terms of grain yields, what you see here, I can't get the mouse going, but it's okay. You see the yields for the conventional management practice and ASRI, minus F, plus F is with and without fertilizer. The gray bars are without straw, the red ones are with straw. For the first three seasons, we saw no yield differences between the farming systems whatsoever. We saw an effect of applying fertilizer only on yields. In the fourth season, however, we saw a significant additive effect of combining rice straw and fertilizer in terms of increasing yields for both of the farming systems. And in the last season, we saw an additive effect of applying fertilizer and rice straw for the ASRI system only. In terms of water management and water use, these are graphs of the pattern of field water depths in the experimental plots. So if you see the horizontal line that transects the box for each season, you can think of that line as the soil surface. The black fluctuating line is the water depth in ASRI as a function of time, and as you see, it's often below the soil surface, whereas the white triangles depict the water levels in the flooded conventional management plots. And so you see that quite often we had water being below the soil surface. This resulted in between 16 to 48% less water use in the ASRI system relative to the flooded system. Although it's interesting and important to note that we saw relatively little difference in actual soil moistures due to the heavy clay nature of the soil, regardless of where the field water depth actually was. This resulted in an increase in agronomic water productivity. So in ASRI, we had for all seasons a statistically higher increase in yield per unit of water applied throughout all of the treatments of the study. So we then decided to look at nitrogen recovery from both the straw and the fertilizer. And we sort of see similar patterns. In the first three seasons where we saw no difference in yields, we had no difference in nitrogen recovery from the straw itself when it was applied alone versus when it was applied in the presence of fertilizer. However, in the fourth season, we had significantly more nitrogen recovered from the straw when combined with fertilizer as opposed to when it was applied alone. And in the fifth season, we had the same pattern occur, but again, only for the ASRI system. And interestingly here, you see that we had an excess of 100% recovery of nitrogen from the straw, which actually indicates that we recovered all of the nitrogen that was applied with the straw, and that we also picked up nitrogen from the labile nitrogen pool of the soil itself, quite possibly because we had augmented fertility over time. In terms of fertilizer nitrogen recovery, this is resource use efficiency of fertilizer and total biomass nitrogen. We saw very similar patterns, no differences in recovery from fertilizer alone or in the presence of straw for the first three seasons. However, for the fourth season, we saw a higher recovery efficiency for both systems when fertilizer was applied in combination with rice straw. And in the last season, we saw significantly more N recovery from fertilizer in the presence of straw for ASRI only. The caveat I want to make is that while we have these differences here, the fertilizer-only plot for ASRI yielded slightly low in this season, so that's part of why you actually see this difference occurring. Now, some people, when they look at these systems where you intermittently irrigate the soils, bring up concerns about the potential for fertilizer losses through increasing nitrification processes when the soil dries out, and the potential for losing it through denitrification when you reflood the soil. And we were concerned about that, so we looked at mineral nitrogen fractions of ammonium and nitrate. But what we found is throughout many seasons of repeated measurements, we actually saw no system-wide differences in the ratio of ammonium to nitrate at any point during the experiment. And this essentially indicated to us that, again, despite us not having a floodwater layer at all times during the season, we still had quite a reserve of moisture in the soil itself, and this probably prevented the buildup of nitrate in the soil. So it is possible to grow rice using less water and perhaps have not as much risk for fertilizer loss and resource loss as some might make them out to be. We also saw a trend towards more mineral nitrogen accumulation in the fertilizer plus straw treatments across all of the systems, but we weren't able to determine its statistical significance. We simply saw the trend. So the last portion of what we did in the experiment was look at nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium balances for all of the treatments and all of the farming systems. And this is a little complicated, but you see on the top all of the inputs coming in terms of the nutrients from precipitation, irrigation, straw, and fertilizer. These are the input pathways that we were able to quantify. And the exports in straw in grain from each of the systems. What we saw for nitrogen was no effective system, although both fertilizer application and straw application had a significant positive effect on maintaining relatively high nutrient balances for nitrogen, which we found encouraging. For P, we saw an effect of fertilizer having an impact on the balances only, which is not surprising because there's very little potassium that is retained in rice straw itself. Phosphorus in rice straw itself. For potassium, however, we saw an effect of applying rice straw, but regardless of the systems, the balances were quite negative, even when we reapplied a total of 25 tons per hectare of rice straw over five seasons of the experiment. There was simply more removed by the grain and in the stover than we were able to replenish through incorporating rice straw. And one of the lessons that we learned from this is that with the regional scarcity of fertilizer potassium, there is a concern that in time farmers are going to reach a critical limit for potassium and could see yield declines. Many farmers aren't there yet because the soils are relatively well stocked, but there is absolutely a lack of potassium fertilizer systems and availability in the markets in this area. So it is something that should be looked at because we're estimating that between 10 and 15 years of continuous cropping, farmers could begin to hit this critical limit. So it's something that should be solved now rather than when the problem actually occurs. And then finally, across the farming systems, five seasons of straw addition significantly increased total carbon and nitrogen pools within the soil. So what are the conclusions and outlooks that we can learn from these experiments? Despite a lot of the passionate promotion of SRI as being a very, very high yielding system, we saw no differences in yields compared to conventional management practices when the crop was actually well fertilized. However, for the NGOs and groups that are promoting ASRI, and often they are promoting it on the basis of saving water and other resources, we did find that ASRI used significantly less water and therefore significantly increased water productivity. And this may be an advantage for farmers who are struggling with irrigation costs because most of these irrigation schemes are basically you have to start a motor pump to lift water over riverbanks and then distribute it to the rice fields. And farmers are seeing an increase in diesel costs. So water saving systems are starting to become more and more appealing to farmers. Straw incorporation had no adverse effect on yields in terms of immobilizing nitrogen and lowering yields and actually improved total CNN balances. so we found this positive. However, fertilizer plus straw application was more beneficial in the ASRI system compared to the CMP system. So for farmers that do choose to use ASRI or techniques thereof, we would suggest that they try to use fertilizer combined with rice straw if at all possible. And finally, the sort of tagline that you hear from many people doing this kind of research, I would like to say that further research is indeed needed. Despite doing 5 seasons of trials on these systems, I would actually like to see a longer time series to see the impact on soil nutrient balances and yields. I would like to see their work done with varied fertilizer rates and actually looking at why we had some of the responses that we did for combining fertilizer and rice straw. I'm pretty sure that we had additive nitrogen interactions, but we weren't able to quantify it methodologically. That would be nice to look at. And finally, some work has been done in China, actually, looking at incorporation of rice straw and its effect on the potential to save water in irrigated systems by maintaining soil moisture for longer periods of times and thus being able to reduce irrigation rates. And that would be another avenue that might be interesting to do research on in the future. That's basically it. Thanks.